St. James Westminster on this cool but lovely Sunday. There are no announcements that I know of today, so let us just take a deep breath, pause for a moment, let us worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. For if this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord. Multitude of people from Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you who, when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I want to talk this morning about context. To be honest with you, I think context is one of the biggest problems that we face in our world today. And that is that we don't understand the context of others. And more, I think we're getting to the point where more and more people don't want to understand the context of others. That kind of worries me, to be honest with you. So let me wander through a few things, scripture-related, church-related, personally-related, all kinds of things around context, and then come out at the end with a little project for you to do on context. The gospel reading this morning from Luke is the beginning of the Sermon on the Plain. Now, that might sound a little strange to you, isn't it, the Sermon on the Mount? Well, the Sermon on the Mount is the version in Matthew. The Sermon on the Plain is the version in Luke, and Mark has some of the stories, but doesn't really have a, quote, sermon on the anything. Matthew and Luke begin their sermons in very similar ways. Both start with blessings. Luke chooses to do the second half of it as woes. If you're familiar with Matthew 5, which most people are more familiar with that passage, which we call the Beatitudes, they are the blessed are those. Usually Matthew combines the positive and negative together, whereas Luke separated them out. So what's the context for all this? Well, let me give you three or four different layers of it. The, quote, theological slash scholarly opinion is that Mark wrote first. Matthew and Luke had Mark's gospel, plus they had a source called the Q source, which we don't have a copy of or know, but we believe that there was this document which has been named by scholars as Q, which gave Matthew and Luke the extra parts that Mark doesn't have. And then Matthew and Luke also have little bits and pieces in their gospels that aren't in any of the other two synoptics. So it's all about our context as we read and understand these as to what they mean. As I said, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain, you could actually kind of reconcile them. From there, they go in different ways. There's some indication that Luke's Sermon on the Plain might have been earlier in Jesus' ministry than Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. There are stories that are consistent to each and stories that are different. At the end of the day, what it does is gives us some context around Scripture. The first context that I think goes with Scripture, and it's something that theologians and scholars are pushing today, is that it's not our context today, it's the context at the time that these were written. And that goes for the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, to understand the context from which these authors are writing, what it meant to them. What they were trying to share with the people who were reading. Luke and Matthew were undoubtedly pointed at different audiences. And so they probably took the context that they thought would feel best to the people that they were writing for. We can still put it into our context today and the context of the intervening years in the history of the church. But it's always with that caveat that you have to remember what it originally meant and what it might mean for us today. There is still existent today that understanding that it's all a nice, neat little box that only has one meaning, and this is what it says, and this is what we do, and it's the context is really nice and easy, just follow the rules as they are, and everything will be wonderful. Well, I can't go there, because the various contexts of the readings, putting them in the context of society at that time, context of society today, I think it calls for a conversation. That's why you read people like Brian McLaren, and Nattie Bowles-Weber, and Rachel Held Evans, and Diana Butler-Bass, and even the scholars like N.T. Wright, and Walter Brueggemann, and people like that, who are calling us to understand our faith in context today. It's not that simple conversation that this is what it means, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. It means having that discussion with each other
with our communities, with our God, about what faith means to us. Now, context is not a new thing. I can show you all kinds of levels of context just in our church world to show that things have changed and will continue to change. One of the things I remember from 1985, because I wasn't in church in 1985, this thing called the Book of Alternative Services came out. Even though I wasn't in church, I heard about the rumblings. You can't replace the Book of Common Prayer with this thing. And I'm going, well, part of the reason I didn't go to church anymore was because it was always the same old stuff. I wanted something new. And, well, maybe that was part of the reason why I came back, that context. So let me share with you, many years later, what I've come to understand about the Book of Alternative Services and the Book of Common Prayer. And the context is simply in my life. You have to figure out your context as to how this works for you. I love the majestic language of the Book of Common Prayer. I love the cadence. Other than the fact that I tend to trip over my tongue a whole lot, maybe it's partly because it's the 8:30 service and it's early, but it's much more of an exercise to proclaim that language. I love the beauty of it. The theology, not so much. The Book of Alternative Services, liturgically, that beauty of the majestic language leaves something a little bit to be desired to me. Yet the theology fits much better with the way that I understand my relationship with God. That doesn't mean I get to say we can't have the Book of Common Prayer, or we can't have the BAS, or we can't do this, or we can't do that. We do both. And if somebody comes up to me and wants to talk about the theology of the Book of Common Prayer, I'll say, where's the coffee pot? Where's the chair? And we'll sit down and we'll have that chat. That's context. And being open to everyone in their needs and their understanding as their spirituality develops. Then came along a new hymn book. There were some arguments around that. One thing got left out of the new hymn book that really, really, really upset me. They took out all the kids' hymns, all the children's hymns. When He Cometh is my favorite hymn, I think, of all time. And they took it out, along with When Mothers of Salem and all those other things. But as I look at it, it was a personal preference. It was in my context. In the context of faith today and where the church is, those hymns weren't going to mean to the children of today what they meant to me, because their context and their understanding of society is totally different. So it makes sense that those hymns perhaps weren't there. As Jerry knows, Camp Huron has given us a couple of thousand new children's songs and hymns that we can use, and even a couple of updated versions of things like Jesus Loves Me. And they're wonderful. And they fit into the context of what we're trying to do, where we're trying to go. When I arrived here, I knew for a fact that the music style, if you want to call it that, in this place would be called classic hymnery. We use classical style music, hymns that you're familiar with, hymns that are new, that challenge you, hymns that are very complex musically. Which, if I'm talking about my style of music, not so much. But we've always done the classic. Mm-hmm. But every once now and again, we throw in something like last week, The Dream Never Dies. A couple of Remembrance Days ago, an unknown song called The Man with a Horse and Wagon. Both of which brought all kinds of comments and conversations. People have told me that they had no idea who the Cooper brothers were, but they've been listening this week and they're thinking about that. Steve and I constantly have this conversation. Every time we share a song, he's listening to the music, the chords, the structure, and I'm listening to the words. And we have marvelous conversations. And that's the way faith conversations need to happen, to understand who we are, how we're growing, and where we're going. So let me get to the crux of the context that I want to talk about. And that's what's happening in our world today. doing this at an accelerating pace. We no longer seem to worry about the context of the other. It's our own context. So, as a priest in the church, I have this kind of uncomfortable place in the middle of it all. I have to understand everyone. And that can be a hard job. I can tell you the current protests and occupations are very difficult. I know my visceral response. I know my personal opinion to what's going on. Yet my context has to be, what if they want to talk to me? I need to be able to understand their context. Because in the context of faith, Jesus talked to a Roman centurion. Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman. Neither of those conversations should happen in that society, in that context, in that culture. Yet they did. That's the context that Jesus gives me. Now, let me be honest, I'm somewhat lucky in that not too many of the protesters have come through the doors and wanted to talk to me about their faith and their understanding and how they understand freedom. But I've had some conversations. One of the things that allows me some context, I don't know how much of this you'll know, but they're talking about vaccine mandates. I'm under a vaccine mandate, so are a couple other people in this place. Our bishop said, two vaccines or you're not leading worship. Our bishop also said, you may not use the vaccine passport system. Worship is a public experience to all those who wish to participate. I accepted the first part freely. Yep, not a problem. For the good of the community, for the good of everyone, absolutely. There's my arm. The good of my family. Protect people. We'll do that. The second part was a little more difficult. But I understand the context that the bishop is called to in consultation with other church leaders and produced a wonderful theological understanding of why worship is open to all. And so in that understanding, in that context, in that sharing, we find a way to journey through these difficult times. But it's not easy. It's not easy because go on Facebook, go on any social media, and nobody's paying attention to each other. It's just noise, noise, noise. I'm right, you're wrong. 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 And on it goes. And I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of judging the people that God calls me to minister to. I have said things about protesters sitting on my easy chair watching the news that I'm probably not overly proud of. That means I'm just human. That's my context. I believe what Jesus shows us, what the gospel calls us to, what is part of church, is understanding context. Even when it's difficult. Even when you would scream at the top of your lungs that the other person is wrong. But we still need to reach out and find that context. That context in which Jesus ministered, that context in which people in the church have ministered for 2,000 years, and if we're continuing to go forward as a loving, caring society, that context that we have to continue to minister in. So one of the things along the way is trying to find an example, something that will help us to understand context in a different way. And so we're going to do something with the reflections for this week. Hopefully, this is the last week of the reflections. Said that before and started them up again when we went back into lockdown. But hoping that we're coming out of all things COVID and going forward and can move on with our lives and that restrictions will slowly be released and when we're going forward. But I talked in Friday's reflection and asked people to comment on it. If you've been watching other churches online, via live stream on Facebook or YouTube, especially if they're other denominations. Maybe somebody's been brave enough to go and try another faith altogether and watch something, and to find out your context and all that. And I'm really hoping that Wednesday's reflection will be made up of your comments on that subject. Tomorrow's reflection is a poem that comes out of nowhere without any background. I'm not telling you who it is, where it comes from, anything else. And I want to get your initial understanding of the context, what you think it means. Don't Google it. That's cheating. I'm hoping that not too many people will recognize it. There's a couple that might. Steve might have a good chance based on all the different music we've talked about. But I hope that you'll just experience it. And then on Friday, I'm going to post a YouTube video of the person who wrote it and their context. And it is absolutely enlightening. And it touches on so many areas that you won't expect. But it's not controversial. It's not like we're going to yell at each other over it. So I hope that you'll participate. It'll be up tomorrow morning, and then on Wednesday and Friday, you'll hear the comments and the context. And I hope in all that, the purpose of this discussion this morning is to help us to realize that context is important. Amen. As you're able, I invite you to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, sitting, standing, or kneeling.
Heavenly Creator, we need you. Let us pray. We pray for your church, both here in London and beyond. We pray for creative and open minds as we discern new ways of responding to your call during a rapidly changing world. Lord our God, in you we put our trust. We pray for our parish council, our church wardens, the altar guild, the wonderful musicians whose music and gifts uplift our spirits and our worship, for our clergy, and for all who keep this building clean, safe, and welcoming. Lord our God, in you we put our trust. We pray for those living in shelters and on the frigid streets, for prisoners and those living in fear. Lord our God, in you we put our trust. We pray for those we love, for our family and friends with whom we share the good and the difficult times. Give us wisdom when our patience is tested. Give us grace to discern more readily the good in each person and the gifts each has to offer. Lord our God, in you we put our trust. We give thanks for our Olympic athletes, coaches, and officials as they represent Canada through their skill and dedication at the highest level of winter sports. Lord our God, in you we put our trust. Heavenly Creator, we are deeply concerned about areas of world conflict, about the escalating conflict at key Canada-US border crossings and in Canadian cities, and about the prospect of an attack of Ukraine. We pray for insight and courage by those who lead and govern to bring about swift and peaceful resolutions. Lord our God, in you we put our trust. We pray for the dying, especially those who are alone, and we remember those in our parish who have recently died, remembering especially Marion Guacmai, Sid Brown, Dorothy Monroe, Ellie Eldridge. We pray also for Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, Chris Brilia, Stella Woodhouse, Diane Fuster, Tommy Emery, Art Sinclair, and John Fryer. Lord our God, in you we put our trust. We thank you, Creator God, for the strength and discipline to follow your gospel commands. Give us grace to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Merciful One, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. Let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that
we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
comfort of sufferers. Receive all we offer you this day. Turn our sickness into health and our sorrow into joy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of the new solar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. Glory to you forever and ever. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation. Glory to you forever and ever. But we turn against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another again and again. You call us to return. Through the prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded by our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, take this and eat it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension. And we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom where peace and justice are revealed, that we with all your people of every language, race, and nation may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Our communion protocol during this time of pandemic restrictions, you'll receive communion where you are in one kind. You may sit, stand, or kneel to receive communion, whatever is most comfortable for you. Jerry and I will approach you with the wafer. After we move the way, you can lower your mask and consume the host. We do have a gluten-free option if that fits your requirements. And if you would prefer a blessing rather than receiving communion, just cross your arms across your chest like that. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
this Eucharist, we celebrate your love for us and for all people. May we show your love in our lives and know its fulfillment in your presence. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Let us go in peace, beloved, serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.